For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sleepers Podcast, Monday, March 11th. Conference tournament week is here. Cartel is sad. I am wearing a Nebraska quarter zip after Kisei Tominaga poured 30 on my program. And we both just broke to go grab waters. How's your Sunday evening going? How are you, Cart?
Yeah, so basically it's March, huh?
That's stay hydrated. That's the sleepers.
I mean, if you think about it, we could probably go back to last year's episode at this exact same time. I'm probably sad because Michigan State lost. You're probably sad too, probably because of a Nebraska loss. And we just broke to go get a water. I mean, that there you go. There's sleepers in March for you the past 4 years, unfortunately.
This was the 1 year anniversary of me being sad at Harry's Chocolate Shop. And yeah, then us going to have sad Applebee's after. So yeah, you're right. This is just the time of the year we get sad, I guess. I don't know. On the flip side, we can't be sad for long because there's a lot of content to do. It's a big week in college basketball. Anybody who watches this sport knows that. We have some exciting plans. Do you want to tell everybody what we're doing for conference tournament week?
Do I have to?
Don't do this.
I'm kidding. We have done what needed to be done in this space. We have assembled what I like to call the Avengers of college basketball to have y'all covered with a preview and recap for every game of every major conference tournament that'll be coming up this week. So we're going to have you covered for the ACC games for previews and recaps. We're going to have you covered for the Big Ten for previews and recaps, SEC, all that, Big 12. We will have you covered before and after the game, all on the Sleepers Media channel. We'll have help from a cast of great gentlemen from both Heat Check and outside of Heat Check as well. And I'm pretty excited about it. Greg has done a great job basically coordinating it and bringing this kind of vision to life. And I think, you know, it's gonna be a lot of fun to do.
Am I allowed to do the I had a dream thing? Am I allowed to do that or no?
I'd rather you not. You could say you had a vision.
Okay.
You had a goal in mind.
Let's
stay away from I had a dream.
So I had a vision. It feels so much worse than just saying the dream, though.
Just stay with vision.
Okay. I had a vision. I want to have a dream. I really want to have a dream here. I wanted to bring together some people that I have enjoyed the content of all season long and enhance what we've been doing here a little bit already. We have had a lot of fun, just the two of us. We have had a lot of fun interacting with the Heat Check guys. It's a great crew of people over there that are friends of ours beyond just working together professionally. And as we started talking about how conference tournament week was going to go, I was like, what if we literally did this for every single game? Let's go make it happen. So that's the game plan. We will have a little bit more of an announcement on who is doing what here, but basically Carter and I are each taking two conferences. We are going to be together on the Big Ten. I'm doing the Big 12. Cart's doing the ACC. And then we have a cast of characters who are helping us out as well. Brian Ralph also going to take two conferences for us. Riley Davis will be in and out of the lineup. The one and only wonderful Jacob Karabatsos is going to be producing and possibly on camera for at least a little bit of this. Lucas Harkins returning to the channel to help us with the Big East tournament. And then two new debut entries that I kind of want to keep a secret, honestly, Cart, until we announce this on Monday. But let's just say two people that I have crossed paths with in various forms, so have you, that we are fans of more than anything. Like anytime I see content these two make in college basketball, it's good. It's entertaining. I enjoy it. I feel like it has added value to my experience watching the game. And I feel like they rounded out our roster very perfectly for this week. So we'll have some announcement messaging on that tomorrow. Very excited about it. But in the short term, what that means, You're going to get a video preview and a video recap for every single game in conference tournament week for every power conference that's not the Pac-12. Carter, do you have any Pac-12 slander bars you want to get off? Explain why we're not doing the Pac-12.
I mean, we're not a participation podcast, okay? So, I mean, the Pac-12 just didn't earn it. You didn't earn it this year. I know it's your last year, and that hurts, but we're not going to just give golden stars just for showing up. You guys didn't earn it this year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like when the net rankings say a team's a good basketball team, but their 18-13 record says they're not. Like, it would be nice if someone could just draw the cut line and make sure that they don't get rewarded for things. You know, that's what we got to do with the Pac-12 here.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Like, no one's going to do anything about it that we cut it either. That's also a point we need to make.
That is a very good point. So, all right, stay tuned. And if you want to go even a week further and guess what's coming for the NCAA tournament, it's the exact same thing with possibly with another new face coming in to help that has not, has been on the channel a couple times, but hasn't done any of these previews and recaps with us this season. So we'll keep that a secret as well. But yeah, a lot of videos to look forward to, a lot of content on the Sleepers channel. We want to be your one-stop shop, your go-to place for every single college basketball piece of content you can find. And I also can't believe I just said one-stop shop describing our channel.
I mean, it is a one-stop shop.
Yeah, but you know, I'm very anti like corporate America, and that felt super cool. Like, that was low hanging fruit.
Oh, really? Should we circle back on that? Like, what? I mean, come on. What are we doing? Wait, I got a phrase though that we can bring out instead of the one stop shop. Park and listen to us bark.
What does that have to do with anything of a one stop shop?
Because we some dogs.
But how, like, use it in a sentence where you would say one-stop shop and now park.
Like, this is your one-stop shop for college basketball.
So this is your park.
If you're looking for some college basketball content, park and listen to us bark.
Okay, that actually works really nice. Which you got the second one, that was good. That was good. Wow. Wow. I still really want to say I have a dream. Let's get to the show. Hey, March Madness is coming out. We just talked about all of our plans for it. Are you going to bet college basketball in March, Cart?
I mean, is my last name Elliot?
Of course it is. Well, where do you like to bet?
I only got one place I go, my brother. That's my bookie.
Of course it is. That's where we experience the thrill of March Madness. And if you're still on the hunt for a sports book to call home, bet the nonstop action of March Madness with us at MyBookie. Enter bracket contests for a chance to take home prizes of up to $25,000 or pick from a huge selection of straight bets, props, and odds boosts. Whatever your style, MyBookie makes it easy to play your way and get paid. Sign up now. Take advantage of our generous welcome offer to score a massive first deposit bonus of up to $1,000. All you have to do is claim the promo code SLEEPERS. But the fun doesn't stop there. Get up-to-the-minute odds, free bets, expert predictions to help you decide who to put your money on. The best part about MyBookie, you can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere with us. Use promo code SLEEPERS, link in the description of this video, to secure your limited-time welcome bonus today. And then you can park and listen to us bark. Cart, do you have a YouTube comment of the day?
Yeah. And the fun may not stop there, but the way we like to say it is it's fun and we ain't done. On to the YouTube comment of the day. This one comes from the Emery Tan. You guys sure about the mass exodus rumor, or is credibility something that you don't care about? Okay. If you have zero 2024 basketball recruits currently signed for your class, you need to lower your tone. Okay. So let's not go ahead and victory lap because you just beat a corpse of a Michigan State team. There still might be some mass exodus occurring. So let's not count our Hoosiers before we get there. All right. That's all I got to say to you.
Let's not count our Hoosiers before they hatch.
Right. Let's not sink our nick before we get to the biz.
Couple quick thoughts from me on this. The phrase mass exodus getting way too much shine this week. That phrase should not be used nearly as much as it has been. It is a cool phrase, but we're overusing it. The phrase is significantly less cool than it was the first time it was rumored when we keep talking mass exodus. Second, credibility is overrated.
Is it?
Yeah, like she or whoever. I don't know why I'm assuming that was a woman. Was it a woman?
No, it was at Emery Tan. I don't know if it's a man or a woman.
Oh, for some reason in my head, I assumed it was a female voice who was saying this to us. I don't know why. Yeah, to me, credibility overrated. Like, do you not care about credibility?
I mean, I care more so about being a good person and keeping it real.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, honestly, who's the most credible person you know?
Depends on the subject matter, but honestly,
You know
my.
what? The fact that it took you that long to think of it shows you what credibility really means. Who's the best basketball player that you know?
Well, LeBron James.
Yeah, there you go, right away. Didn't even have to think about it.
My
Who
uncle
cares about
Bro my uncle Brian is extremely credible.
Do you have an Uncle Brian?
Yeah, I do.
Is he the
Yeah,
one
you.
that lives in Virginia Beach?
No, he used to be a policeman.
Ah,
He worked
okay.
like murder cases in Kalamazoo for years and years and years. Yeah, extremely credible.
Can he arrest our center rotation?
I'm just saying. Okay, let's get to the Discord. Hey, join the Discord. We are 20 people away from Carter getting a Sleepers Media tattoo. Point blank. That is what it is.
Yeah, and I know people want to see me get a sleeper tattoo, so go ahead and join. A lot of
20
flurry of
people away.
lately.
What was that?
Been a flurry of people joining the Discord lately. It's been great to see.
Yeah, it's been really fun. It was popping off there this weekend. Just join the Discord. You're gonna want to. This March is gonna be awesome, and we are gonna roll out special stuff this week for NCAA tournament March Madness bracket challenges and a couple other games I got in store. I also just realized we didn't do a ticket giveaway this month.
I will have a person picked for that when we record the next episode. I
Okay,
will.
so we're going back to you get to pick who it is every time now.
Well, I'm going to do the randomizer.
Last time you didn't do the randomizer though.
Yeah, I just picked.
Yeah, I kind of like when you just pick.
Do you want me to just pick? I will.
And you play your game. I'm not going to tell you how to be cartel. Coop starts us off today and says, "I want to know your thoughts on coaches with a reputation for struggling in March. Painter, Brad, Shaka, Tommy Lloyd, Rick Barnes. I've heard people say they just need that one title or Final Four run and that reputation will go away. I disagree, especially with Painter. I personally think he will need at least three Final Four runs for that narrative to die down. Is the complex acting up, or do you feel similarly?"
I see. I don't. There's got to be a middle ground. I don't think you need three Final Four runs, but I just think you need some type of consistency in March. Because for me, it's like Shaka has the Final Four, but outside of that, everything else that he has, he's losing to Michigan State as the higher seed, as the two seed. He's at Texas losing to Abilene Christian. Like, I don't know if the consistency needs to be Final Four runs, but there does need to be some type of consistency. And also, not to be long-winded about this, but for what it's worth, all those guys we just named are really good coaches
Yeah.
too. Like, we say the March things, and yes, that hurts like their legacy probably and how we view them in March, but all those are really good basketball coaches that I'll take at my school in a heartbeat. But all it does is take one breakthrough. Like, if Paint gets one Final Four, like I think it'll be solidified, because it's not like his March record is just absolutely atrocious, you know?
Yeah, your reputation is what happens to you. It is what you do in coaching. And I wish we could change that, but the reality is like Painter's reputation is a guy who's lost to a bunch of low seeds. It's not a guy who can't do it or never gets over the hump. It's just his teams consistently lose to teams that are 13 seed levels below them. That's strange and it's an aberration. It's weird. Brad's reputation is he always flames out by the second game. Always. Like Shaka has had a great reputation as a March coach from early in his career, and then it's changed since. Tommy Lloyd, I think the sample size is still a little too small to say. Rick Barnes, we have decades of, well, he has really good teams and hasn't gotten over the hump. March is fluky. I've said it for years. We can't give people credit for doing things they don't do. We just, when we talk reputation, that you earn that through things that happen to you. And I don't think there's anything special about those five guys that causes this to happen. You could make the argument with Painter, like the way he's built this program sets them up for failures in a single elimination game setting, because that centric around the post, I think, is not necessarily the way I would want to build a team in a single elimination game setting. But I don't like he could win a national championship this year, absolutely. So I'm not going to say he can't do it. And let's not forget, Bill Self had a reputation for struggling in March. That shit was cute, right? For the first 10 years, Bill Self was the guy who couldn't get over the hump. Should anyone have turned down Bill Self because he lost to Bucknell? Because he couldn't win? No. After a long enough time, you'd be elite enough as a coach. You have good enough rosters. The results will speak for themselves. Doctor says, I'm officially broken. I've never felt a pain worse than this. I think that was after McNeely decommitted. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad we got to give you a little dose of serotonin so you can feel a little good about yourself.
Purdue Boiler 83 says, you guys get a flat tire on one of your road trips. You have zero cell phone service. Who's changing the flat tire out with the spare?
I know how to change a tire.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah, I know how to change a tire. Do you?
No.
Okay. Pretty. You should know how to change a tire.
Maybe.
I don't want to pull this car, but you're a father now, and Murph is going to get a flat tire one day on her Subaru, and you're going to have to change it.
You either need to know how to do things or you need to know a guy who knows how to do things.
Or get AAA. Yeah.
I'm a big know a guy guy. I got a guy for everything.
Okay. Well, if you need your tire changed, call me.
Yeah, that's on a road trip. If something goes wrong, you're my guy. And then in other settings, I have other guys. Middle name Miserable said, what is the correct pocket to put your phone in? I think this is a very sensitive topic that needs to be addressed.
I always put it in my left pocket.
For me, it's entirely dependent on, do I envision needing to get it very quickly? If I need it, it needs to be right hand dominant. If it's more like it's going in to stay for 20, 30 minutes, it's left.
I'm always going left because I feel like I need my right hand free. Like, let's say something's going on. I'm like, yo. Like, and I got my left and left right pocket.
Yeah. How often are you doing the yo?
It hasn't happened yet, but, stay ready before you get ready.
Okay. Coleman's Burner says, is Carter just tall?
Yes.
Ryan the Depressed Fool says, what's your all-fun team in the country? Five starters by position, roughly, and three bench pieces.
Reed Shepard, Rob Dillingham, Antonio Reeves, Justin Edwards, Dane Danger.
Okay. Three bench pieces?
Marcus Damask, Terrence Shannon Jr., Zvonimir Avisic.
Okay. Yeah. Basically, your two favorites, Illinois and Kentucky. I would just throw like Robbie Avila in there. He's fun. In fact, Indiana State is just fun. Everybody wants them to be good. They're just fun. Let's make sure we draw the line on that. I think that's it. I don't really have anybody else. Doug McDaniel was fun for like 2 days.
He still might be fun, right?
Nah. We didn't do a Michigan Nebraska recap, but it was a moment today. Jawan benched him, like actually benched him, final 13 minutes, and they panned to Doug on the bench sitting next to T. Will. They were both literally just cussing out Jawan, and then Doug like put his head in his shirt and was so pissed, like rolling his eyes. It was bad.
Tough scene.
Yeah. O to the D-O double G says, you guys did a few segments on best possible path for teams in the bracket. Maybe this is a weird take, but as a Purdue fan, I've watched my team get up for big games and be very meh against mediocre teams. What if Purdue needs to see all the good teams? Could you do a segment on the hardest path to the championship? I don't hate that take that Purdue is actually better in their biggest games, but it's hard. It's hard to do that with path because you're still going to have to play like an 8 seed, you know?
Yeah, true. And as good as that sounds, and I do kind of agree with that because they do get, like, in the non-con, they were getting up for the big games. You know what I'm saying? I have a hard time thinking, like, okay, so you're telling me, like, you'd rather play the better 3 seed instead of playing 14 seed McNeese State? Like,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
Longwood? Like,
yeah.
But, like, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. Sean Vowles says, what percent chance would you give the Indiana mass exodus rumors of being true?
Define mass exodus.
Back to it. 50%. It doesn't even need to be defined as that. A bunch of players are going to leave. That's not whether you want to define it that. I don't care. Yeah. Purdue Boiler 83. Can you even attempt to name a starting five for Indiana next year? I think it'd be a miracle if you guessed right on three of them.
Cups. That's it.
Trey Galloway is coming back. Yeah.
Trey Galloway is coming back for college basketball.
I guess that's true. I bet Galloway is at Indiana. I bet they give him more NIL than I would give him.
True. They do got a bag. Is that bad business? Blowing up huge on Trey Galloway?
Probably. Yeah. That's why I wouldn't give it to him. Yeah. Other than that, I don't know. We could just speculate transfers, but I'm not going to speculate transfers because it would be impossible. That would be a fun exercise in the summer, though. Wonderflonium says, what are your three favorite basketball movies?
I think we've done this before, but it's He Got Game, Air Bud, probably Blue Chips.
Coach Carter, Love Space and Basketball.
I just try to be mysterious about that. Sorry.
Yeah, you try to get cute. Coach Carter, Space Jam, Love and Basketball are my three. Coleman's Burner says, starting to think every conference is overrated. Does this mean college basketball is overrated? What happened to the game I love? I feel like we're going to get a 7 seed versus a 4 seed in the championship.
We're not. We're getting high seeds this year in the Final Four.
I hope so. I hope that's what happens. Travis Nelson says, a glass of milk with the right meal doesn't go crazy. It is crazy. He says, I misspoke. I don't get why we're hating on milk. I don't get why we have to be an anti-milk show.
I'm definitely not anti-milk.
Okay. Boom Fizzle says, in terms of Indiana's better performance recently amidst all the coach and recruit controversy in the era of the portal and NIL, aren't players incentivized to continue playing well, even if they don't care about their team and season success, so they can secure a transfer to a good team? Yes, that is absolutely true.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. Ryan the Depressed Fool says, please read this on stream. I'm dying laughing. He has a chat GPT about sleepers. It says, in an epic showdown at the college basketball championship, the underdog team Sleepers Media shocked the world by taking down the formidable Purdue Boilermakers led by towering Zach Edey. Comprised of unlikely heroes, including Greg Waddell, Guy, Ryan the Lion, Ulamog, and Fam, with the dedicated water boy Carter Elliott, Sleepers Media proved that teamwork and determination could conquer even the mightiest opponents. Greg Waddell's strategic prowess, Guy's sharpshooting, Ryan the Lion's relentless defense, Ulamog's clutch plays, and Fam's leadership ignited a fire within the team. Despite facing the imposing presence of Edey, Sleepers Media refused to back down, with Carter Elliott's unwavering support providing hydration and motivation. The team rallied together with a singular purpose to defy the odds and claim victory in a thrilling and hard-fought battle. Sleepers Media emerged triumphant, etching their names in college basketball history as champions against all odds.
Why do I have to be a bum?
I enjoyed it greatly. You'd be a good water boy.
That's so disrespectful. That's literally so disrespectful.
Now we have another diatribe from Dr. Doctor. This is a good one. You guys are making this really hard to do the Sunday night episode, though. Dr. Doctor says, what does Indiana basketball's 2024 recruiting class and Manti Te'o's girlfriend have in common? They don't.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Exist. In the span of 24 hours, there was massive speculation that the IU administration was moving on from Mike Watson for a top five peak male performance coach in Bruce Pearl. But no, at 7 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon, 2 hours before our beloved Hoosiers take on an elevated surface in the barn, it was announced we are keeping a coach that embodies the epitome of mediocrity, 30-29 Big Ten record. Upon hearing the news, I quite literally dropped my phone, fell to the floor in a Kyle Flopkowski-esque flop, and cried. Despite having a passionate, borderline psychotic fan base that only wants to win and support the team in a state where natural selection has enabled kids to shoot the ball, Mike Watson has failed in tremendous fashion. I emptied my beer cabinet upon this news, drank the night away, in which I went through the 5 stages of grief in 5 hours. I woke up the next morning coming to terms with the fact that Mike Watson was our coach. I even texted a friend that I was watching Liam McNeely highlights while listening to 300 Violin Orchestra to reassure my last bit of hope. 24 hours later, whatever was left of my heart was ripped out at 7:06 p.m. when Liam McNeely announced he was decommitting. I went nuclear. There aren't enough words in the English language to describe how I felt. I rinsed and repeated yesterday only upon a 10 times more excruciating scale. I'm a shell of a man. I was 2 days ago on stage three, bargaining of the five stages of grief. But I am writing this now at 7:30 p.m. on Friday, fully expecting Assembly Hall to blow up from the inside and put me out of my misery. Congrats, Kentucky and Purdue fans. Congrats, Ted Valentine. I'm officially broken. I'm speechless. I only possess one singular mitochondria of hope. The Tiger Woods 2019 Masters-esque return to glory for Indiana basketball. Pardon my French, is going to bang like an MF-er.
My word.
You a big natural selection guy?
Is this a safe space?
No, it's not.
Okay. Natural selection is just like weeding out like the weak, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with that because I don't put myself in the weak category.
Boom Fizzle says, to piggyback on the cold glass of milk discussion, our Discord is so different, man. Like, just think of these two comments back to back. Said, since Girl Scout cookie season is upon us, what is your favorite Girl Scout cookie to go with a cold glass of milk?
Well, I'll just give you my favorite Girl Scout cookie. Tagalongs are my favorite.
That's what Boom Fizzle said as well. You want to guess my favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Thin Mints.
Of course.
In the freezer?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Good. I'm not mad at that at all.
Okay. Yeah, I love Thin Mints. Ryan the Depressed Fool said, who carry their coach more, Kenneth Walker or Trace Jackson Davis?
Kenneth Walker.
Kenneth Walker. Carter Bullhouse says, who's the GOAT, LeBron or Jordan?
Ron.
Greatest ever is Michael Jordan. Best basketball player to ever live is LeBron James. LeBron could still change that. Guy says, reminder that Deron Holmes is the second best college basketball player.
What's the next comment?
Sean Vowell says, is there any way Dusty May stays at FAU for another season?
The way things are shaping out, I think he might, actually.
I'd be stunned if he did. I think if he remains at FAU after this core leaves, he's cooked. You got to sell high on that. Santiago Vescovi's LinkedIn says, new name change. How do we like it? I think that used to be Sully.
I love Kentucky's fan base. And I love our Kentucky Discord members.
It's hard enough to have to read all of these. I love it. Don't get me wrong. But like the name changes make this impossible from a listener's perspective. Dylan Terpstra says, you may know I was a big AJ Hogard fan supporter. I run track and my teammates have quickly figured out how big of an MSU fan I am and how much I used to love AJ. As I'm in my blocks for the 4x400 today, my teammates were yelling AJ Hogard at me. Am I cooked?
Yes, you are cooked. Also, you're a maniac for being a 4x4 runner. That's crazy.
That's not your game.
If I know my track correctly, I think the 4x4 is literally when everyone runs a lap. Like, and in my track days, if you got in trouble sometimes, the coach would make the sprinters run the 4x4 because it's a bitch of an event.
Yeah. Okay. I was not ever a fan of track and field. Didn't like it. Never did it. Went to some meets, hated being at the meets.
Yeah, honestly, meets are probably the funnest part of track.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I'm going to reserve my commentary. Shout to Terpstra. I respect your grind, but you used to say this. Who willingly wants to run?
Yeah, crazy people.
Yeah, but then you train yourself to run, and then I guess you feel good about it. I don't know. Moon says...
You used to run for fun.
I do run for fun. I ran this week.
Yeah, that's running for fun.
Yeah, it's not for fun, but it's running. Moon says, in a tournament of the two worst teams in each league, who do you got? The contestants are ACC, Louisville, and Miami, Big 12, West Virginia, and Oklahoma State, Big East, DePaul, and Georgetown, Big 10, Rutgers, and Michigan, Pac-12, USC, and Oregon State, SEC, Vandy, and Mizzou.
I don't want to take the Pac-12.
You have to pick a team.
Just a team?
I think it's USC.
USC or give me healthy Miami.
USC is playing well right now. Beat Arizona over the weekend. Yeah, go USC. Guy has a big comment about how Nevada is the team of destiny, and he just named all of their players. I'm going to go over that one. Boiler Khan says, what's your general excitement level for this Selection Sunday and the tourney compared to past seasons? Very, very excited.
I'm not excited.
Are you excited on behalf of like our stuff?
Yo, 100%. That's the only thing that's keeping me alive and going.
Okay. Guy has another comment. After Arizona losing to USC, nobody deserves the last one seed. Here's some potential options. Give it to Chicago State, the independent champs. Have Dalton Connect play 1-on-5 against the 16. Have a Rick Barnes versus Tommy Lloyd versus Hubert Davis Mario Kart race for the one seed. Give it to Drew Valentine. Round up the 15 shortest college basketball players. See if they can beat Purdue. Connect versus Caleb Love in a game of horse. And the TBT All-Star team plays as the fourth one seed.
I'm starting to get really concerned about Guy.
I love Guy's energy. I really do. Ryan, the depressed fool, says, I have a strategy for my March bracket that I've been working through. It's called pick the teams Greg's out on. So my final four would be something like Michigan State, Baylor, Alabama, Dayton. What's the probability of this working?
If those are the teams, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I think those teams collectively are a combined like 2-29 against top 25 opponents this year. So you normally have to beat some good teams to win an NCAA championship. Sean Vowell says, is there a conference tourney that matters less than the Big 12? There's not really any bubble teams. No, I was doing the written preview of it for Action Network. That's spot on. Every team that's in the tournament is already in. Every team that's out is out. I think it'll be competitive at least, but there's no bubble drama there. It's weird.
Yeah, even when you get down to like seeding, like Houston's going to be a one seed no matter what. Like, and I don't think Kansas gets to – I don't know, maybe Kansas gets to a higher line. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Sean Vowell says, who wins in a 1v1, Dane Danger or DJ Burns?
Dane Danger.
J-Rod says, here's the irony, in my opinion. Izzo has been unwilling to go to the portal to get support, not ever at the five, but overall has come back to bite him. I read that wrong. Izzo being unwilling to go to the portal has come back to bite him. In about half of Michigan State's losses this year, the opponent had at least one transfer. The funny thing about this is that Michigan State has had success getting a transfer in the past. It can be done. I love loyalty, but when it comes at the expense of the whole, it's hard to support. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you, J-Rod. Yeah, I think that's exactly spot on. That's where our head and heart is at. The only thing I would tweak on this is I think every single one of your losses this year, the opponent had at least one transfer. Every team in the country has transfers.
I hate loyalty.
Do you like loyalty, like, with me and you? Like, should we be loyal to each other?
Yeah, but, like, I also approach this every day that you might leave me. And if it's for a good reason, I'll have to just accept that.
Okay. I would never leave you, for the record. Busting Goose Brackets. Tristan says, who has a better chance at winning a fight, me beating up Coy or Rhonda beating up Big Patty in Hey Arnold?
You're not beating Coy in anything, so.
Coy's, yeah, I don't think anyone wants to see Coy.
I don't think anyone realizes that Coy is like a trained assassin.
Yeah, he's scary. Scary human, yeah. who isn't scary because he's very nice. But like, I feel like some of the nicest people are the scariest people, you know?
Easily.
Travis Nelson says, what magazine cover would Michigan State's front court be on?
Playboy?
I mean, Xavier Booker couldn't be on that because that would mean they have to Playboy.
Ha ha. Good one.
Thank you.
Or they would be on like some simple children's magazine because they're very easy.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think. Like, it used to be SI for kids. Maybe there's, I don't know. Maybe Sports Illustrated, but like the clearly ChatGPT written one.
Right. Or they would be like those, like the fake tablets that aren't really tablets. Like you can't do anything else on them but kids' games. Like those tablets.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And last one here, Melba says, the final cross division standings of the season and ever, really. The Big Ten West came out on top, 52-22, winning 70% of the matchups. Every team ended up playing either 10 or 11 cross-division games. Overall, 74 out of 140 conference games were cross-division. For the final home road records, only Purdue and Illinois had winning road records. Purdue and Nebraska finished a perfect 10-0 at home. Northwestern just behind them at 9-1. Only Maryland and Michigan had losing records at home. Long live the Big Ten West.
Mel, but thank you for all you do.
I think the Big Ten West is just so happy to finally be better than the Big Ten East in something, you know?
But does it matter though?
No, it couldn't matter less. But like to them, it might be their everything, you know?
Yeah, true.
But it was a fun exercise. We were extremely wrong about this going back to the beginning of the year.
Who would have thought? And,
we believed in our teams. We will never do that again. Thanks, Melba. Thanks to the chat. Appreciate everybody. Let's get to the show. Kurt, right now, right here, I have a banana. What do you notice about this banana?
It's bruised.
Yeah, it's kind of moldy, kind of rotten, kind of still probably edible, but certainly not a fresh banana, not a banana that's thriving right now, right?
I've seen better bananas. Pause, but yeah.
So this banana has been in my kitchen for about 5 days now.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been looking at it. Been looking at it. I've been watching as it, I mean, it's looked like this for about 2 or 3 days now. It hasn't looked like it's changed very much. This is my banana. Walk by it every day. I'm like, oh, I could eat that banana today. But it doesn't look overly appetizing because this is what it looks like right now, right?
Right.
If I wanted to have a banana, I could either force myself to eat this banana and pay the price of probably not enjoying the banana, or I could have gone out and gotten a different banana. But what wouldn't make any sense is for me to complain that this banana isn't a fresh banana because when I saw it at the store, there was a picture of a fresh banana on it. That would make no sense because I know that this banana is not fresh because I've been looking at it not be fresh for a while now. I know what this banana is. It would be delusional for me to say that because it looked like that, it was on the sign. Why isn't this banana good enough for me to eat? That would make no sense, right? Do we agree on that?
We agree, yes.
It's a really bad metaphor for what Tom Izzo's trying to do right now, and I'm grumpy about it. Can we get into the Tom Izzo comment? Which Tom Izzo comment do you want to start this segment with?
I don't know. Do we want to go straight to the post-game comments? Do we want to go some little earlier in the week hits? What we got on tap?
What was your favorite this week?
I like the one about the my guards were on a magazine cover.
Let's start there.
Okay.
Insane. I made jokes about this, and then, of course, some people were upset with me for making jokes about it. I think this is one of the craziest things that Tom Izzo has ever said publicly. He came out and said, I'm going to read this quote in full. Here's what I told my team. Everybody's frustrated. You're not getting many points inside. You're not doing this. It's all true. But whoever said we were going to be great in there at the beginning of the year, we've got three guards that were on magazine covers and who were listed as high. We had a four-man who we thought could be good, but we question marked. The four-man is playing his tail off in every way, offense, defense. If those three guards can come back around, then center by committee isn't as bad of a deal. When we're trying to get points out of them, people search when things aren't going as perfect. But people that are supposed to do their job have to do their job, and we'll be fine. What the hell does that mean?
There's so much to break down out of that. Let me start with this. Who the hell said we were going to be that good? Did I not see a picture of this team in the preseason with Final Four on the TV in your weight room? That was a thing, right?
That was a thing.
So maybe you yourself thought you were going to be this good. Also, center by committee. That only works when you actually have people that contribute to the committee. If you put together all the big man stats from tonight, it's like a whopping 1-1-2. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the only part that I tell myself, and I don't know if it's even true to say, or it's just me coping, I truly don't think he believes this. I think he's just saying it. There's no way he does.
What part, though? What part do you think he doesn't believe? Because that's not my read on this at all. I think the only reason you would say this is if you believe it.
He believes that this center group can do it by committee.
No, but I think that's not what this is about to me, whether or not they can do it. I think he's admitting that he knew the center spot was this weak and he thought the team could still win in spite of it.
That's literally that's my worst. I'm sorry. Let me collect myself a little bit right here, Gregory. That's what I was scared that he actually did when I was like just projecting what he did, but he really actually leaned into that, which is crazy because since we're on the banana metaphor thing here, Greg, I do sales, right? I didn't cover this one thing because I thought that another employee could cover up for that. I fall flat on my face. I do not reach that goal. That doesn't make it okay. If I'm underperforming, that doesn't make it okay. That makes it on you for knowing something is bad and having an avenue to improve that, and you just say, no, I'm okay.
Yeah, like I just don't think this is a sign of a healthy organization at all to say like, oh, we know this area is bad, it's weak, it's not good enough, it is underperforming, but that's okay because we have overachievers elsewhere. Like, huh? It would not hurt Jaden Akins or AJ Hogarth or Tyson Walker to have a star center playing next to them. Like it would only help them. In fact, it would do way more than just help. It would like totally change this entire season. It would make AJ's life so much easier to have anything playable, anything redeemable from that spot. And I think he's kind of looking at it backwards because he's like, well, my guards needed to take a jump and then we wouldn't even worry about the centers. No, maybe your guards would look like they were taking a jump if they weren't asked to do things they're incapable of doing because you have nothing at center. Like it's chicken or the egg of which came first. And it's just gotta be so frustrating to you as a fan or the fan base. I can't imagine my coach saying this shit. My coach does a lot of stupid shit on his own. Trust me, I call it out. I've lost my mind. I think I'm going gray on one side here. I can't process this. Tom Izzo said a lot of shit through the years I disagree with. This is the most audacious one because he's going toe to toe with everyone right now and being like, yup. I knew our center stunk, and I don't care. And it's on AJ to be who he is, and we'll be fine. Which, by the way, let's not forget this whole season started with a laughable moment where AJ Hogarth told everyone that we don't know who he is, right? So who is he? Who is AJ Hogarth? And why do AJ Hogarth and Tom Izzo believe in that player more than anything he's actually contributed and done in his career?
Like, what is the negative of making it easier for your good players? That's like part of that's part of coaching. That's what you want to do. You want to make it, you want to make things easier for those players to succeed. And you knew that coming into the season, but you said, no, I'd rather just those guys take a jump. If they took a jump, we're still not that great of a team because we have an absolute negative at the center's position. And it's mind-boggling to me for that matter. And also, like, what happened to like the standard? Like what, like it to me, it reeks of like we're okay with the way things are. Like that's what that signals to me.
Yeah, 100%.
Double, you're doubling down on something that I don't know, Gregory. I do not know.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think like, look, I get believing in the backcourt as a whole, right? Like this was one of the best backcourts in the country on paper coming into the year. I have no qualms with believing that, and that's not why I'm making fun of the quote. This team was not going to win a national title with this front court, no matter how good the guards are. It's not possible. It's just not. And you failed the guards you say you need more from by putting them in this spot. And moreover than that, though, projecting a leap from some of these guys was insane. It just was like it made sense to believe that Jaden Akins could get better. But we called it out in the summer. He needs a role to get better. Like how he's asked to play the same off-ball role next to two ball dominant guys again. Where is the production jump coming from in that? I've been saying this since June. I was right on it. There is no path to Jaden Akins getting better playing next to AJ Hogarth and Tyson Walker. He was gonna be the same player he was last year. It was AJ Hogarth. What has he shown in 3 years that made you believe this guy could be the face of a championship team?
Jaden's been worse too, by the way. Not only did he not get better, he got worse.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, And look, they were good enough last year to lose 13 games and make a sweet 16 because you caught a banged up Tyler Kolek and AJ Hogard played really well for two games. That's what happened. Like, that can still happen. You also had Joey Hauser. Like, you had a killer in the front court that helped that team. If you rip Joey Hauser out of that team last year, they lose to USC in the first round. So, yeah. It seems so delusional. I don't understand how I feel like I can know Michigan State's players better than Tom Izzo does.
Well, that's the thing that's scariest is, like, this is not the makings of, like, me feeling like we're in a good spot. Like, I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel if this is the mindset.
Yeah, I don't know. And I still, like, all of these comments come from a place of, like Tom knows that these players are better than they are. Isn't this just a massive miss from Tom? These players aren't better than they are. Jaden Akins is. Jaden Akins should be better than he is. This is AJ Hogard. Like, what? Where am I missing on that? Am I wrong?
No. This is who he is. He's been bad. He could at least be a little bit bad. But, like, this is who he is, yes.
He's bad. Like, yeah. What are we doing? What if? Yeah. Where? Was everybody living under a rock the last three seasons? Like, these teams haven't been good because AJ Hogard is wildly inconsistent. That's who he is.
Yeah.
I don't understand it at all. It's always been delusional to expect that guy to be awesome. Like, it has to be the other things around him that are awesome. And Tyson's been awesome, but he got hurt. Malik Hall's been awesome. Yeah. Your roster's still so bad because of what you did at the center spot. Just own it. Just own it and admit that. Instead of, like, he's still looking at this like, I need more from Tyson Walker.
Yeah. Huh? Also, I just want to let it be known that there's a certain assistant coach that came on board in 2021, starting off as the director of recruiting.
Hmm. Do you want to name names, or are we not a name show?
Don't want to name names, but I'm trying to find correlations outside of Tom Izzo and the actual players on who has been the core of this run. That goes for everybody. Coaches, players, coaching staff included as well.
Okay. Now he's mad you're shooting threes.
Just be mad at yourself. Tom, you're mad they're shooting threes. We're mad that you doubled down on University of Wiener spokesperson. Like, why are you mad that this team is shooting threes? They should be shooting more threes because you put a plotting center on the floor who can't space the court. What are they supposed to do? Drive into him? This was a drive. If there was a game to shoot a lot of threes, this was one of them. Let's not drive into the NBA level talent shot blocker down low when we have this team. Like, it just doesn't makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Shooting threes is, like, the only thing this team does well offensively, literally. Like, they, other than just, like, hey, Tyson, go make crazy plays, which is still a very inefficient way to try and win basketball games, especially when he has a groin injury, and especially when 90% of his shots are tough twos. Like, the only thing y'all do good in the half court is shoot threes, make them at a good clip. You shoot 36% on the season, I believe. That's, like, top 60 in the sport. But you're, like, the attempt rate is so low. It's why your offense – I can't believe Tom Izzo doesn't really – and I know it's kind of the meme, right? Because he claims he hates analytics. And I don't get it. I don't get what we're doing here. Tom must get all his basketball knowledge from the Sporting News magazine.
From magazine. I don't know what this is anymore. It's just, God, I need, the thing is though, like, even like in wanting this season to end, if this is the mindset, the program might be cooked. At least for the standard that we want.
Why do you say that?
If this is how he's gonna approach issues and approach the transfer portal and approach everything, like, what how's that gonna work?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I did. There is an AJ Hogard on the cover of a Philadelphia-based magazine from the summer. You can buy copies for $10. So I have a birthday gift for you. Well, I have a birthday gift for you. You're coming next week.
That's insane. If you give that to me, I'm gonna be upset.
Well, stay tuned. Should be fun. Okay. Topic number two. Anything else you want to get off your chest?
Sure, man. No, nothing.
Let's do our conference tournament predictions real quick. Let's fly through the big ones. We are going to have previews and recaps up, as we said at the top of this episode, for every single big conference tournament, big team effort over there. So there's going to be like 200 plus videos put up on the channel this week. I can't wait for it. Should be exciting. Let's go through and just give our winner pick. I'm going to pull up some of the brackets too, just so we can look at actual matchups here. But let's start in the ACC, where North Carolina was the regular season champs. Who do you think is going to win the ACC tournament?
I think Duke is going to win it.
Doesn't that go against all your Duke is soft stuff?
Yeah, but here's what I'm going to lean in on. I think that if Duke ends up I have Duke playing North Carolina again. I don't see how North Carolina beats them three times in a row in one season. There's no way.
I will say this. I'm getting vibes from Duke, North Carolina, this iteration of it, of Cassius Winston owns the Jordan Poole Michigan team.
Mm.
Where, like, that, to me, that Michigan team was awesome and a little bit soft and awesome and a little bit soft. And they had a white guy who was the worst, right? And Iggy, like, that was that team. That team was awesome and a little bit soft and had a white guy who was the worst. And they were one of the best teams in the country until they played their rival, and then they got smoked three times.
Who's Ryan Young on that Michigan team?
Who's our backup big that year? Pesky.
Pesky was good.
Yeah, he was pretty good, but not good enough.
Yeah, I guess so. I just want to throw that out there.
I think someone random is going to win this tournament. I feel gross about it. I don't think it's Duke. I think they're soft. I'm out on them. I don't think it's Carolina. I didn't love the Carolina energy of how much they celebrated this win. I know that that's old man yelling at clouds, but, like, I think Carolina got what they came for, and I wish they were still a little hungrier. I think they got what they came for. I think someone random is going to win this, and by random, I mean, like, Clemson or Syracuse.
Yeah, that was gonna be my next question to you. Is it gonna be like random, like bubble team, or random, like bid stealer?
Not that random. Although Miami would be fun. I don't hate Miami's path. Miami is the 14 seed in this league. They have to Boston College, then Clemson, then Virginia just to get to the semi. I'll put my money on Clemson. I could see a Clemson run coming.
Okay, Joe Girard.
Maybe. Let's move to the Big East. What's your Big East tournament prediction?
UConn.
Yeah, I'm not even going to look at the bracket. It's UConn to me. They're not losing to anybody that's not Marquette or Creighton. And only have to play one of them in the final. Hopefully we get Marquette, Creighton in the 2-3. That'd be a really fun game, especially if Kolick's back. But whoever wins, if they get to the final, I'm taking UConn.
Yeah, I'm not going to overthink it.
Big Ten?
Purdue.
Same thing, or little dice here with them, or no?
No, not at all. It's just dominant team in a league that's not that good.
Who could steal it if it's not Purdue?
Ohio State.
They actually are playing well. I don't hate that pick.
Right. Ohio State, like, they might play in the second. I'm not sure how it shakes up, but, like, maybe second game Ohio State has to end up playing Michigan State. Maybe, I think, is how it shakes out. And, like, they could beat Michigan State, already have. Then they play Purdue, already beat them one time. Like, I don't know. I could just see it.
Am I making this up, or didn't you pick Illinois?
Didn't I pick Illinois?
Yeah, didn't we do some exercise that resulted in you saying Illinois would win this?
Yeah, I did pick Illinois.
So you're just back on Purdue now, flip-flop?
Well, because Illinois changed their mindset. They're about, like, fixing defense and getting stops now. That's not what I'm in on.
Yeah, that's not your Illinois. Okay. No. There's no D in Illinois. There's also no W. And there's two L's.
It's a couple I's, too.
A lot of I's. A lot of I guys. Okay. SEC. I have the bracket in front of me. Tennessee. I love the draw for Tennessee. No shit. They're the one seed. But they are on the side of the bracket where Auburn is their four seed. They're going to get either Auburn or South Carolina. The other side of the bracket has Kentucky, Texas A&M, Florida, and Alabama.
SEC tournament's going to be fire, by the way.
Really, really fun.
I'm going to go a little bit outside on this one, not too outside. But I think Auburn actually wins the SEC tournament.
I despise this pick from you.
Why do you despise it?
Because I think Auburn and Alabama are so fraudulent.
Yeah, but somebody's got to win this, and I don't want Kentucky to win it.
You don't want Kentucky to play that long? You want them to lose early?
If Kentucky doesn't win the SEC tournament, they would at least go to an Elite Eight. If they lose in the championship game, they will win the national championship. If they win the SEC tournament, they will lose in the Sweet 16.
Interesting. I don't think I agree. I think this could be a Kentucky team where you want them to win and experience success late and keep the – because they won, what, five straight games? Like,
I think something like that. Also, so, Rob Dillingham is at Rupp with Drake at the concert too.
That's crazy. I don't know how I don't pick Kentucky after hearing that news. I'm going to pick Tennessee. I think the draw is what does it for me here. I think I don't see them losing to Auburn. So you can pencil them automatically into the championship game at that point. And I think there is something about like, okay, they're the champ already, but they didn't end their season on a high note. They probably want to feel good going into the NCAA tournament. Like maybe they're more ready for this because they lost that final game of the regular season to Kentucky. I could see it. Also, Connect went for 40, and we just like glossed over that.
And they lost.
Yeah, but Connect had 40.
And they lost.
Lost schmoss. It's 40.
Fake 40.
That was not a fake 40. That was crazy 40. He took 29 shots. How do you not love this?
I wish his 40 equated to winning.
Okay, stop it. Big 12 tournament, who you got?
Give me full strength Kansas winning it.
That is the worst pick anyone has ever made in the history.
You just said that about my last one.
In the history of the Sleepers Media YouTube channel, that is the worst pick. You first of all, full strength?
Yeah.
They're not going to be at full strength.
No chance.
Hunter dislocated his shoulder. He's getting an MRI.
Can't you just pop it back in?
No.
It's his right shoulder.
Okay. No, McCullough didn't play the whole second half. Hunter busted up his shoulder. Kansas' draw is they have to win a game to get Baylor. Then they get Baylor to get Iowa State. Then they get Iowa State to get Houston. No chance. Bill Self wants to shut this thing down. I think Kansas might throw the first game, to be honest with you, and get out of there safely and rest up, get hit the pillows. Houston's draw, once again, is so easy. It's so much easier than anybody else. The only team that concerns me is BYU.
You're going so chalky on all your picks.
I know, but it's the draw. Fine, I'll give you a non-chalky one. I wrote about this in Action Network article previewing it. It's the best bet, the best value bet on the Big 12 tournament is 30-1, the Texas Longhorns.
The Fighting Terriers?
The Texas Longhorns. So Texas, if they win their first game, gets – or I don't – maybe it's not even if they win their first game. Let me pull the bracket up real quick.
With by the way, first team. All Big 12 member Dylan Dessou.
Is he? Did he actually make that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
He did.
Great for you and your agendas. Texas. Yeah, here's Texas. They play Kansas State. If they win that, which they should, Kansas State stinks. They get Iowa State in the quarters. Then they would get whoever's left between Kansas, Baylor. I think Iowa State is more doable to me if you're Texas than Baylor is. So get to the semi and you feel good. Texas. You know my numbers. Per Torvik, last month, Texas is the second best team in the Big 12 behind Houston.
Second.
They've been playing like a top 10 team in the country over the last month, and nobody's talking about it. 30-1. Yeah.
Good win. So I think one of their wins actually came at Texas Tech, too, which is a very tough place to play, too, by the way.
Max Asemus in March. Special stuff.
I do love A. Smith. Okay, I'm all in on that actually happening. If A. Smith realizes that, Terry realizes that, and Tyrese Hunter realizes that A. Smith is on his team.
Tyrese Hunter's been playing really good.
He did hoop last game. He did.
Pac-12 tournament, do we care?
It's going to be USC.
It's not going to be Arizona?
No, Disney, Walt Disney bubble run from USC is going to happen.
I think it's going to be someone random, and it might be USC, or it might be like somebody worse, honestly.
UCLA?
Like Arizona State or some bullshit.
That would be true. That'd be tragic.
I think we get a bid stealer from the Pac-12. I feel strong about that.
So I think it's either going to be a bid stealer, or the inverse of that, it's going to be like Washington State.
Yeah, it could be that too, I guess. We'll see. All right, final topic today. Kemba Walker candidates. Give me your Kemba candidates, players most likely to just power their way through the NCAA tournament, have a magical run, be a superstar, Buddy Hield, Kemba Walker style, and take them all the way to a Final Four or beyond. Let's just do three each. Give us three each, and I feel like we should disqualify Dalton Connect from this exercise.
I was just going to ask, like, can we get rid of that? Because I feel like that's going to be number one on both of ours.
Let's say you can't choose Dalton Connect and you can't choose Zach Edey.
Okay, I'm good for that. Well, first pick is easy for me. It's Rob Dillingham. Rob Dillingham's my pick for that. I just think that he's electric with the ball in his hands. It could be beautiful to watch. Sometimes it could be bad to watch. But, like, if he gets it rolling for six games, it's going to be a special run. I wanted to pick Reed Shepherd for this, but I don't. I might go back to Reed Shepherd, but I'll stay with Rob Dillingham right now because I've been saying that all season. But just let it be known, Reed Shepherd's a bad, bad man. Like that's a very bad man. Second pick on this, I feel like you got to go offensive teams in this exercise. So I am gonna go to Baylor with this next pick, and for me, it's Jacoby Walter. I think offensively, he is the most talented. He has the top five pick capability. I think that he can just go on an absolutely special run with his scoring ability. And it's a team that scores a lot of points. So that's very, you know, conducive to that. And then my last pick, now, not a bracket person. I might look like Lucas Harkins, but I'm not Lucas Harkins. All right. So I don't know how this unfolds. If Colorado makes the tournament, I think they're in right now, if I'm not mistaken. KJ Simpson. KJ Simpson has had some massive games as of late, and he has the ability to go absolutely crazy for that Colorado team.
They just got so much talent, though. Like, I would never feel confident that it's going to be KJ singular. Like, I think a big part of this exercise is you have to carry your team. You know? Like, that's the same with Rob. Like, I know there's going to be, like, moments where Rob's the guy, but there's also – if they win six games in March, there's going to be three where Rob – plays 17 minutes.
Okay. Well, let me erase those three then. Let me reverse this.
No, you can do it.
No. Really, really quickly here. I got you. Don't worry. One would have to be Tyson Walker. Because I think Michigan State is Michigan State. Tyson Walker is, I think, definitely one of those guys. So you kind of got to pick teams that aren't as talented, but like maybe have one guy that could go.
I think that's part of the exercise because the year that UConn did the run, they were not expected to be the best team in the country, right? It was like, wow, look at this player elevating this team that hasn't been that good single-handedly. That's sort of how I was approaching it.
Okay, I got you. So Tyson Walker is probably one of the first picks on there.
I like the Tyson pick.
I wish Syracuse was in there. I would definitely go Judah, but Syracuse isn't going to make it. Go to your three.
All right, I have three. I feel like we've kind of done. I was the honorable mentions. Kadari Richmond just is.
Is St. Mary's too good to consider Aiden Mahaney?
No.
I think he would go in that role.
I have a team better than this that I might go against everything I was just saying. My one you can push back on is Baylor Shireman.
Oh, yeah, well, you just talked about other guys.
Baylor's role isn't up in the air the way that Dillingham's is. Like, Baylor Shireman's going to play 38 minutes and shoot 20 shots. That's been a no-brainer just because he has talent around. Like, they want to win or lose with Baylor. If he gets hot and shoots, say he shoots like 60% from three in a six-game sample size, could absolutely happen. It's like, oh, shit, this was an all-timer crazy run. And we've talked about how we don't give him enough credit on here before. My other two, I think, are more in line with what I was saying. Who was the first one? I'm just missing it right now. I had all the names, Card. I'm dropping the ball.
Well, I got my other two while you figure out. It's Tyson for me. It's Javion McCollum from Oklahoma. I know how you feel about that. And the last one you probably won't like either. It's Walter Clayton from Florida.
I like Clayton. I hate McCollum. Like, come on.
is a killer, man. He's a killer.
I guarantee you they're going to lose in the first round by like 18, and he's going to have 12. And I'm just going to send you a screenshot of it with no commentary at all, and that's it.
Okay.
I'm just totally missing whoever my second guy was. I got really on the Baylor Shireman track here. Oh, duh. Max Asemus is the pick. It's cop out. It's fun. I get it, but it's Max Asemus. Kadari Richmond was my honorable mention. I want to throw one more honorable mention at you before I get to my third. Honorable mention number two is Xavien Lee from Princeton.
Ah, killer.
They need to get there. They need to win Ivy Madness, but I think they can and will. My final answer should have been your first answer, should have been my first, second, and third answer. Hey, Cart, who's the player naming the exercise? Like, who's the name of this exercise about? What player?
Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker. What was Kemba Walker the year that Kemba Walker did the Kemba Walker thing?
What was what?
What was Kemba Walker the year that Kemba did the Kemba thing? What was he?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cardiac Kemba?
He was the best point guard in the country, right?
You're doing this.
We might as well just pick the best point guard in the country for the guy. Who's the guy most likely to go Kemba? I don't know. Maybe the guy who's the best point guard in the country, the same way Kemba was, Budarius Lamar Bowie Jr. He's special. He's special. They're going to be there, and they're getting healthy.
I mean, I like it. When did he get the middle name Lamar?
That came together at the end of last week. I don't know how.
It kind of fits.
Oh, it really fits. It really fits. I think he's going to go crazy. He was close last year, and I know this is just like fan lip service right now. I think he's going to win two games, and I think he's going to be special in doing so and have like 30 and 10. And everyone's going to be like, holy shit, who's this kid? Like, I still think people at a national level don't know him.
I like that pick. He should be an All-American.
He should be. Free him. I love you, Boo. Still, please acknowledge, as so many other people are acknowledging us these days, and you still won't, and it hurts. It hurts me every day.
It's a void we have in sleepers.
One big thing, presented by Big B, what do you got today?
My one big thing is I want to apologize to the electrician community. I was a little bit harsh on Friday's episode out of just pure frustration on my part. I got to be better than that. I had an electrician come by today to kind of handle the situation that was happening at my outlet in my basement, not my mom's basement, in my house. And it was he settled it very amicably, and I appreciate him. So shout out to Steve.
I was going to ask you, what's his name? I thought that was all BS, and you were going to get to the end and not know the guy's name that you're praising.
So. Nah, his name was Steve. The only feedback I do have is that if you're only going to accept cash, you got to let people know that beforehand. Mm.
Yeah, not a cash carrying family.
No, not really. So Steve followed me to the bank teller down the street, and honestly, people who were watching that probably thought a drug deal was going down as I approached a random blue beat down van as I just stopped by the teller to get cash out.
Yeah, that's not great. Also, do you and your family need to get your bread up? Is that what I'm hearing right now?
I mean, we just don't do cash.
Sounds like something someone who needs to get their bread up would say.
How much cash do you actually have in your household right now? Like, if I said go upstairs, you have a minute to grab all the cash that you have. How much cash are you coming back downstairs with?
Like $200. You didn't even have that for your electrician.
You don't even know how much it costs.
Do you want to tell us how much it costs?
It costs enough that I can go upstairs and get more than $200 in cash. Peasant.
Okay. All right. Are you a good, like, remember names guy? Like, when you get introduced to
No,
someone?
the absolute worst.
I'm horrible at it.
Me too. I'm a clap big dog.
Yeah. That's one of our worst weaknesses as a duo, I think. We run into this a lot.
Can I end this now with a very funny story based on that? Quick one. I'm sorry. I know it's late, but
Well, I still have to
I.
get my one big thing, too, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, after this though. So there's a twins that went to my high school, correct? And one of them was playing in the men's league game that I was in. These twins are easily decipherable. Like you should be able to tell them apart. I played basketball with them back in high school. Like I knew the twins apart, right? So I'm talking to one of the twins and I'm like, yeah, bro. Like we got to link up sometimes. I saw your brother like 2 weeks ago, or last summer when I was like outside hooping. He goes, "That was me, you idiot." And I felt so stupid. And that's just how bad of names I am.
Never going to be called an idiot. No.
Yeah, it was. Honestly, I don't even think it was idiot. I'm pretty sure it was dumbass, but.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, we got to get better at that. How much is left in that mug, by the way? As you chug the mug. Okay, I'm going to get to my one big thing presented by Bigby, of course. This is something I feel really passionate about. You, I think, heard this from me earlier in the day. I think this is the number one big thing I felt strongest about since we've done this. It's time to retire the Kobe picture. It's time to retire it. I don't want to see any more. Ooh, look, he did the Kobe. When you get it, like, I don't want to see it. Don't want to see it anymore. This also goes that, like, MJ also has a similar iconic picture celebrating their championships. You know what made those moments cool? They were authentic, genuine moments that those players were having out of joy and not being like, oh, hey, can we recreate the Kobe? That'll be fire for the gram. It was cool, like, the first three times someone did that in, like, the mid-2010s, but it's 2024. I don't need to see anyone mimicking an iconic picture when you've just found a trophy. Also, make sure the trophy looks cool if you're going to do that. If you have a shitty trophy and it looks horrible. It's cheap. I hated it. And yes, I'm doing this because Caitlin Clark did it today. And it was all over the timeline and it disgusted me. Caitlin Clark wins a Big Ten tournament and we see Kobe impersonations. Despise it. Retire it. I'm done.
Is it bad that I did that Kobe picture when I ate the 36 Kodiak pancakes?
No, because we were doing it as a joke. Nobody who
Okay.
does these things does it as a joke. They actually are like, wow, how sick is that? You did the Kobe. Like,
All right. I did have an idea in my head that when we hit like 10K subscribers, I was going to have Meg take a picture of me like laying on my basement floor with like podcast equipment laid all over me, like MJ was on the floor of the athletic training room.
just let the icons be icons. Go make your own iconic picture, right? Like, maybe be original, maybe, or don't, or just take a Google stock image and say, I want to do that. Like, what is this? Like, senior pictures? Like, I hate it. I despise it. All right, that's it. That's the show. We'll be back tomorrow.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.